If you would, find the passage, John 1:29. Let me read it to you. We've been using it through this whole series on the Lamb of God. It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, or here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. You look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher, I'm your preacher, and on me is a greater and a more strict judgment than anybody in the room. And I know that, and I accept my place in rightly dividing your truth and your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. Be seated. It's good to see you guys. We're going to look at the entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, which obviously today is called Palm Sunday. It is a reason I'm wearing purple, because purple is a sign of royalty, and not that I have any royalty, but it suggests that he is king, and we're going to look at him today as being our Hosanna and being our king. And we've, under the Lamb of God series, we've been talking about Jesus as our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our Atonement. He's our Mediator. Today, we're going to see that he is our Hosanna, and our Hosanna is also our King as well. I want to remind you, as Mediator, in a recent sermon, Jesus replaced the Old Testament priest. He replaced the Old Testament prophet, and he replaced the Old Testament king. But we want to begin today by looking at him being our Hosanna. I want you to look at John 12:13, where in John 12:13, John's writing is recognizing him as Hosanna. They took palm branches, went out to meet him. They kept shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Matthew 21:9, which we reading a section of it, says, then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed kept shouting, Hosanna to the Son of God, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Look at Mark 11:9-10. It said, then those who went ahead and those who followed kept shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then even in Luke 19:38, and in Luke 19, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. I want you to know that John, Matthew, and Mark mention both Hosanna and king. They're referring to his kingship, or they're referring to him being the Hosanna. Luke 19 only refers to him as king, not the Hosanna part. But what does Hosanna mean? Hosanna, when they shout to him Hosanna, it is a shout of rescue. The word means, God, will you save us? Or not only will you, you have saved us. It is a point of recognition that he can or that he will save you. For me and you, it's just a cry for help. It's a cry from help. I want you to look Matthew 21:9 for just a moment. I'm not going to read it all because we've already been here to this verse. But at the bottom section, it said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest heaven. The highest heaven is an important phrase because even that is recognizing his kingship. But it also is saying that our king came to be with us. That he lowered himself and he humbled himself to come and be with us. Philippians 2 is a chapter about how Jesus humbled himself and became one of us. So it is a picture of high to low. It is a picture of high to low. And they're recognizing not only is he the one who rescues, but our king has come to rescue, which is a very important challenge for me and you to understand today. So everything I've been preaching in this series about the Lamb of God, Savior, Redeemer, Atonement, Mediator, all those things, even today, Hosanna, it's all about rescue. And you're going, hey, preacher, are you ever going to get off the point of rescue? The answer is never. Never am I going to get over the point of rescue. So today, it's rinse and repeat, okay? It is a message about rescue. And the rescue is our focus during this Easter season. So when we say Hosanna, that's not a word we use today, but it is, we do use a word that asks for help. And sometimes we don't want to ask for help. We want to be independent. I want to remind you that God will never call us to be independent of Him. We don't mature in our faith to become independent of God. We mature in our faith to become more dependent on Him. We need to be a group of people who knows we need to cry for help. Do you recognize the people of the Old Testament? If you were to put their life in the Old Testament on a graph, it would be a series of peaks and valleys. In the valley, they needed the Lord. They cried out for help, and God helped them, and they prospered. And when they prosper on the mountaintop, then they forget how they got there. And then it comes down to another valley, and then it comes to a peak. God helps them. They get to a place of prosperity. They forget how they got there, and then it's back to another valley. That may resemble your life. I don't know if your 2024 is going to be a peak year for you or if it's going to be a valley year for you. But I'm here today as your preacher and a preacher to remind you to trust the Lord in all things. And I'm here to remind you that I want to challenge you and build up your confidence that you can trust the Lord. Why? Because He is our Hosanna. He is our rescuer. He is the King who came to rescue all of us. My problem that I see as a pastor in today's world is that we don't think we need help. I was talking to a person this week in Frankfurt, and the man looked at me and he goes, "Our common sense is not so common anymore, is it?" And I said, "No, it isn't." We will get to a point where we think we don't need to cry for help. Listen, I've just realized my whole life sometimes can be a call of rescue. Lord, I need wisdom. I need some leadership skills. I need this. I need understanding. I need insight. I need clarity. I need this thing. Do you call on Him? I know you know you can call on Him. That's not what I'm asking. Do you call on Him? He really wants you to call on Him. He said to Jeremiah the prophet, "Jeremiah, tell my people to call on me." That's where He wants us to be. And we have a Savior who is our Hosanna. He is our rescuer. I want to give you the scenes for just a moment. Just give you a picture of what's going on. He's entering on a colt into Jerusalem. So we're going to give you a Sunday to Sunday rundown in the sermon here in just a second. But he's entering on a colt. It was prophesied in Zechariah that he would do that. Probably no big deal to me or you, but it was prophecy of Jesus. And in some accounts, it has two colts. And I don't want you thinking he's some circus act where he's got one foot on the back of one horse and one foot on the back of the other one and going around a ring, you know. But it would be very commonplace for, if he were on the colt, that the mother of that colt to be nearby. That's if he raised on a farm or with horses, that's really a no-brainer. But it was part of the prophecy that he would come in on a colt. I want you to know that this is a ceremonial entrance. This is the way kings in the Old Testament would have their kingly procession. It would be riding on the back of that animal, and it would be coming in basically a ticker tape parade or a red carpet layout for them. So his entrance into Jerusalem is no different than a king coming in to their reigning city. And so as he's coming in, we've got people laying their coats down, their clothes down, which would be a symbol or a resemblance of what we would call the red carpet. They were laying their palm branches down, all of that. Obviously, that's why we call today Palm Sunday. But it was a kingly entrance. It wasn't just a, haphazard thing. This is the way kings of the Old Testament would march into their ruling city. So it's a huge crowd. Huge crowd. Remember, they're there for the feast. Some scholars are estimating 2 million people may have showed up for this feast that are coming in on Jerusalem. And just picture the crowd. They are ahead of him, and they are behind him, and there are people lined up on the side who are gathering the sea of people. In other words, they're just finding their place in the march. So it's a huge crowd. Let me show you how big it is. Look at Matthew 21:10. These are things we may pass over in reading scripture. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken. Have you ever been to a ball game or been in a stadium where you felt the entire place just rock? I've been there. You know, I've been there. Have you ever seen a broadcast of a sport event where the crowd is just rocking, that the cameras that are broadcasting it are beginning to shake as well? The word that is used here for shaken, that Matthew is using, is a word that's used to describe an earthquake. It is seismic. The size of this crowd is seismic. It is wild with excitement. Vanessa, I do think of you often. Love you deeply. Been your pastor for 30 years. But it says here they were shouting and they kept shouting. And then my mind went, you think I could still hear Vanessa? I believe I could. I believe I know her voice well enough I could pick it out. Here's the point that Matthew is making. You could hear the crowd, and hang on, you could feel the crowd. It was seismic, is the word that we're referring to. Hosanna, the rescuer, has arrived. I want to add to the story. You may read it and you may have forgotten it. I want to, by the accounts of John, the gospel writer, Lazarus was in the crowd. And they had heard that Jesus had raised a decomposed man from the dead. So Lazarus is in the crowd. And the people, they wanted to see Jesus, but they also wanted to see proof. They wanted to see proof of the one that he has raised to. So I think there was not only the acknowledgement of Jesus, but the curiosity of hearing that Lazarus, in decomposition state, has been raised by the Lord to life. So they didn't want to see one or the other, but they wanted to see both. I find this interesting, because he's coming in on a Sunday, this Sunday, and he has Lazarus walking with him in the crowd. And I find that ironic that on this Sunday, Lazarus, the one who's been raised from the dead, walks with him, but then next Sunday, he walks out of the tomb himself in resurrection. On this Sunday, Palm Sunday, there's the kingly procession. This is the week of Jesus, which we refer to Holy Week. The Gospels reflect that he is king. Monday, tomorrow, there'll be the cleansing of the temple and other acts that he does. Tuesday, he's debating the leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, and the readers of the law. On Wednesday, he rests. Thursday, it's the Last Supper, the betrayal, and then he's arrested. Friday is the crucifixion and the burial. Saturday, it's referred to as Silent Saturday. He's in the tomb. It's a day of grieving. And then Sunday comes the marvelous resurrection of our Lord. I wanted you to see that, because this week is an incredible week in his life and in ours. And then Friday, we call it Good Friday, but I want to remind you, it wasn't so good for him, but it was great for us. But I want you to know he did that with joy. The book of Hebrews says he endured the cross with joy because of what he was doing for every single one of us. I hope this Friday you find some way to pause in that day and remember all that he has done for us and all that he has done for you. As he is entering, and we know that the city is shaken, seismic proportions, it is shaking. They want to know what's going on. You need to remember that if you're ruling, you're in some kind of government rule or authority rule, you're going to go, well, what are we going to have to handle? I mean, that kind of a movement of people, we have to do something with it. What are we going to do? I want you to look at Matthew 21, 10 and 11. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken. But here's what they were saying. Who is this? Who is this? And the crowds kept saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. I remember Jesus, this is a mix of a crowd. We have some who are followers of his. They recognize him as Hosanna, the rescuer, and they recognize him as their personal king. But then there are other people that in that crowd, and he is a threat to their rule, and he is a threat to their religion. And some are just there to be curious. So there's a mix in the crowd. And when they ask, who is this, a part of the crowd called him prophet. And of course, it gives detail. You've got to be from somewhere, right? So it says where he is, from Nazareth in Galilee. But I want to remind you today, he's more than a prophet. Remember, I started the sermon. He's mediator. He replaced the Old Testament prophet. He replaced the Old Testament priest. And he replaced the Old Testament king. He's more than a prophet. He's our Hosanna. He's our rescuer. He is our king. Some will only see, I'm talking about today, some will only see Jesus as somebody historical. They may never see him as Christ or the Son of the living God. They see him as a rabbi and a good teacher. They see him as a prophet. They see him as nothing more. And I want you to know this is the way the world sees him. They see him as a threat, especially when you know who's behind the distortion of this world. I use this verse a lot. I intend to use it a lot to the point where you're going, hey, man, you use this a lot, okay? Because I want you to get this worldview for a second. Let's look at John, 1 John 5:19 for just a second. We know that we are of God and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. I want to remind you of the model prayer, which is called the Lord's Prayer. When we get to the end of it, he says, and protect us from evil. When the actual words is protect us from the evil one. I want to remind you in the Gethsemane prayer of John 17 that Jesus prays for us and he says, protect them from the evil one. Not only in the Lord's Prayer, but his Gethsemane prayer. It is something you and I need to understand, the confusion, the craziness, and the chaos that's in our world today. Even the way people can just think and you shake your head like a cartoon character going, how in the world can you think in such terms? I just want you to know the whole world is under the sway of the evil one, his deception. That's why you have a preacher. You can listen to the news and I listen to the news, but you got to have a preacher that counteracts the news. All right, you got to have that. And to remind you that the enemy is behind this. And he wants Jesus to never be recognized as the Son of God. Jesus, the name and the person, is a threat to all that the enemy intends to do. And you're going, well, hey, since you're the preacher, what do we do? I'm glad you asked that. I'll give you, in our rhetorical conversation here, I'll give you the answer. Luke 18, 35 and 34. Let's look at this story for just a moment. As he, Jesus, drew near Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Hearing a crowd passing by, because he's blind, which we know when one sense is not working, one of our senses, the others are heightened. So he's hearing a crowd passing by. He inquired what this meant. Jesus the Nazarene is passing by, they told him. Well, obviously he'd heard of Jesus and he had heard of the things of Jesus and the power of Jesus. So this blind man, he called out, Jesus, Son of David, which actually is a picture of his kingship. Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those in front told him to keep quiet, which is what the world will do with us. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and commanded, and I love this part. This is, I picture a pretty good crowd and Jesus stopping and then everybody just running into each other, you know, because Jesus stopped, you know. So, and Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Let me just, the Lord goes, "You're crying out for help. So what do you want me to do?" If the Lord were to ask that of you today, would you know how to answer, or would you just say, "Let me go think about it for a minute"? Do you know? See, that's what I mean by sometimes we think we don't need help. If you need help, you know what help to ask for. And one of the reasons we don't know what to ask for is we don't think we need it. As we mature even in Christ, it doesn't mean we stop the cry of rescue and help in our life. We don't quit it. It's a continued prayer of ours. So what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. "Receive your sight," Jesus told him. "Your faith has healed you." Instantly he could see. He began to follow him, glorifying God. All the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. The world is going to be this crowd in this story. And the world is going to tell us to be quiet. And then what do? We get louder. I'm getting older, but I'm getting louder. You know? I'm getting older, but I'm getting louder. Now, when I say get loud, I don't mean to be obnoxious. I don't mean for you to be a pain in somebody's side, be ridiculous in that. Listen, we've got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You know, there's a wisdom in how you respond. It's not by responding in a crazy kind of way and in a hurting kind of way. But in this, the crowd told him to be quiet and he got the more louder. You know, I believe Jesus even paid attention to that. So we've got to get louder, but we also have to do it with wisdom, and we have to do it even in kindness and meekness. But I'm going to get louder as I get older. So we shout even louder. Man, I'm gonna go old school on you right here, okay? Sorry about this. But when I was putting this sermon together, I remember my childhood and my student area of life, and so I went back to an old campfire song that we all know one way or another. When I say it, you're gonna roll your eyes. But we used to sing around the campfire, "Pass It On," right? So just picture a campfire. You've had a great youth retreat weekend, and the girl that you're hoping will notice you is beginning to notice you. It's kind of like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and his girlfriend batting eyes at each other. And you're eating s'mores, and you're around the campfire and all that. And then we start singing, "I'll Shout It From the Mountaintop. I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. Hosanna. And I want to pass it on." I know that's corny. I know it's a little bit hokey and your eyes are rolling. I get it. But it's a message that we have. He's not only our King, and we've been singing about that today. He's our Hosanna. Our King in the highest humbled himself to the lowest. Why did he do that? To rescue us. I want you to know your rescue is here, and also your King is here too. I may live in America and I understand our government, executive, judicial, legislative parts of government, the branches of government, but I want you to know I'm under a kingship. I live under a kingship. I have a King that rescues. He's my Hosanna, our Hosanna. And I'm going to get a little loopy with you here, but I had to do this. You know, in these passages, we have him prophesied by Zechariah to come in on a donkey or a horse or a colt. And he does. And remember, that's a ceremonial kingly procession that's going on. It's not just something that they just came up with, and to recognize that he is king. But in Revelation 19, the John, the gospel writer and the Revelation writer, he says that one day the Lord's coming back. And guess what he's going to be on? A horse. He's going to be on a white horse. And the scriptures in Revelation 19 says that Jesus will be called the one who is faithful and true. He will be called the Word of God. And written on his robe and on his thigh is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, in my strange, humored mind, I'm thinking of some WWE wrestler all dressed up walking into his fighting music, you know? I'm like, I've even asked myself, what would Jesus's walk-up music be, you know, if he came in on this way? But his robe says that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and it's written on his thigh that he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. I want to remind you, he's not going to be king. He already is king. All right, we sometimes have him being king when he comes back. He's already king, and he's king of me, and he's king of you. And our king rescues. He came from the highest to the lowest so that he could rescue us, and he does. Listen, a challenge today from me to you is, if you've never given your life to Christ, surrender to him today. He came to rescue you, give you new life, abundant life, and even eternal life. If you're here and you're a believer, then trust him. I hope my preaching gives you confidence to be able to trust him. I don't know if this year is going to be a peak year or a valley year. I just know you can trust him during this time. I saw Terry Olson here last Sunday and got the hug and love on him, and today he's in glory from one Sunday to the next. I have no idea what your future is, but I know that he has sent us our Hosanna, and he has sent us our King, and he has come to rescue us. I called Logan last night. I've been working out, and some of the music I was listening, I didn't even think of it until last night. And so I called him, and I asked him, I said, can you do a very specific song? And he said, yeah. And I said, I know you're going to ask me, why didn't I tell you earlier? And I said, and I know you're going to ask that, and it's a legitimate question. I said, but the answer is, I didn't think of it till now. And I said, if you can't do it, man, that's fine. And, you know, God has gifted us with Logan, and he's gifted Logan. And so he's able to do it. Do you remember that song, Amazing Love? How can it be that my King would die for me? That's our song today. And it's about our King is our Hosanna. He is the one who has rescued us. I'm not going to have you stand. We'll do that in a minute when we take communion. But just sit and worship and reflect of all that he has done for us. Our King came to us to rescue us. We shout Hosanna. Blessed is he, the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And as you reflect on this song, if you want to pray, you want to praise, whatever, but he is our King. And let's recognize him as that today.